Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
Okay, so get this, right? Imagine there's a way to actually, like, upgrade how you think.
Like install a mental operating system.
Exactly. One that helps you see the world in, like, a whole new way. And also tackle problems better. Maybe even problems you thought you couldn't solve.
Sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah. And that's what we're diving into today, systems thinking.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. And get this, our guide for today is this document by Dr. Joseph Kassa. It's called Why You Should Be Using Systems Thinking to Solve Problems.
Okay.
And he has some seriously mind-bending ideas in this.
I bet.
Like one that really grabbed me is, well, the idea of ditching that whole search for the right answer.
Hmm.
And instead embracing a whole spectrum of possibilities.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it was a light bulb moment for me when I read that.
Yeah, I can see why.
He also introduces this thing called holistic thinking perspectives.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. HTP.
Yeah, HTP. Think of it as a multi-tool for your brain. Mm-hmm. You know, it helps you really break down any problem from 9 different angles.
Like a mental Swiss Army knife.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But before we get all up in HTP's business, let's start with the basics.
Okay.
Like, what exactly is systems thinking? Is it as complicated as it sounds?
Not at all, really. I think a good way to think about it is to remember that story of the blind man and the elephant, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, where they each touch a different part.
You know, exactly. The trunk, a leg, the tail, and they all come up with completely different ideas of what an elephant is, right?
Right.
Well, systems thinking is all about recognizing that we all have those limited perspectives.
I see.
And to really understand something, we need to see it from, well, all those different angles.
Okay.
Like all the blind men trying to figure out the elephant.
So instead of being just one of the blind men, we need to try and become all of them.
Right.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Well, actually, there are two approaches within systems thinking. There's systemic thinking, where you really take your time, you really immerse yourself in the problem, gather all the information, kind of like all those blind men, right? Trying to understand this elephant. And then there's systematic thinking, which is more about following a really structured process.
I see.
Both are valuable, but they're different ways of approaching the same challenge.
Okay, so it's like choosing the right tool for the job. Sometimes you need a magnifying glass and sometimes you need a microscope.
Exactly. And the tool that you choose will depend on the situation, you know?
This reminds me of like all those debates about face masks. You know, during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Where you had people passionately arguing for and against them.
Right.
Both totally convinced that they were right.
Yeah.
So how would systems thinking have helped in that kind of situation?
Well, think about it. Systems thinking wouldn't just ask, are masks good or bad?
I see.
It would push us to explore the complexities. Like, why do some people feel so strongly about wearing them? What are their fears? And what about the people who oppose masks? What are their concerns?
Mm.
It's really about understanding all those nuances of the situation.
Yeah.
Instead of getting stuck in this really simplistic, like, yes or no argument.
You know, that makes so much sense. We get so caught up in being like, right?
Yeah.
That we totally forget to ask why people believe what they do.
And that's where things get really interesting, because once you start digging into the why, you start to see those connections, you know, those underlying systems that are influencing people's beliefs and their actions.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, Dr. Kassa also talks about how we define a problem.
Right.
And it's not as straightforward as you might think. He says there are actually 3 different ways to look at it.
Yeah, he argues that we often get so hung up on searching for the correct solution when there might be a whole range of acceptable solutions.
I see.
You know, ones that address the problem from these different perspectives. It's about expanding your options, really. Yeah.
Instead of limiting yourself to just one path.
You know, I do that all the time. I get so focused on finding the solution.
Yeah.
And I completely overlook other possibilities.
It's like you're wearing blinders.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I'll do it.
So how do we actually do that? Like, how do we actually start thinking in systems?
Well, Dr. Kassa has this really cool tool
called
Holistic Thinking Perspectives.
Right. HTP.
Yeah, or HTP. It's a framework with 9 different perspectives that you can use to analyze any situation.
9 perspectives. That sounds a bit overwhelming. What exactly are they?
Okay, well, let's start with a few. There's the big picture perspective, you know, where you step back and look at the overall context of the situation.
Okay.
Then you've got the operational perspective, where you focus more on the like processes and actions involved. The functional perspective is all about the purpose and the intended outcome. And then the structural perspective examines like the relationships and connections between different parts of the system. Okay, hold on. Let me grab a pen and paper. I need to take some notes on this. So we've got big picture, operational, functional, and structural.
Right.
What are the other five?
Okay, so we've also got generic, which focuses on like common characteristics and patterns. Then there's continuum, where you look at the range of possibilities, the gradients. Then there's temporal, which examines the time-related aspects like past, present, future.
Okay.
Quantitative is all about numbers and measurements.
Right.
And finally, we have scientific, which brings in a more like objective, evidence-based perspective.
Wow, nine different lenses to look through.
Yeah.
And how do we actually use these perspectives?
Well, Dr. Kasser gives some really helpful examples in this document. He actually applies HDP to a camera, a car, and even a house.
A camera, a car, and a house.
Yeah. It's amazing to see how each perspective reveals like different insights and connections.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about how he uses HDP with the camera example.
Okay, well, imagine you're looking at a camera. Right. From the big picture perspective, you might think about the role of photography in society, like how it captures these moments in time, the impact it has on art and culture. But like from the operational perspective, you'd be more interested in like the mechanics of the camera, you know, how the lens focuses light, how the shutter works, the different settings and controls.
So it's like zooming in and out.
Yeah.
Focusing on different levels of detail depending on which perspective you're using.
Exactly. And the beauty of HDP is that it really forces you to consider all those different aspects, even the ones you might normally overlook.
I'm starting to see how powerful this could be. It's like you're getting a 360-degree view of the situation.
Right.
But wouldn't it take like forever to analyze everything through all nine perspectives?
Not necessarily. I mean, remember, it's a tool. You don't always need to use every single perspective for every problem. The key is to choose the perspectives that are, you know, the most relevant to the situation.
Okay, so it's about being selective and strategic.
Precisely. And as you get more comfortable with HDP, you'll find that you can, like, intuitively switch between perspectives.
Okay.
Almost like changing lenses on a camera.
This is making me think about all sorts of challenges in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already starting to see how HDP could help me approach them differently. Have you ever used HDP to like solve a problem in your own life?
Oh, absolutely. Just the other day, I was trying to decide, you know, whether or not to get a new phone.
Oh, yeah.
And it felt like a pretty simple decision at first.
Sure.
But then I started using HDP, you know?
Okay, let's hear it. How did HDP help you choose a phone?
Well, from the continuum perspective, you know, I realized I didn't have to choose between keeping my old phone or getting like the absolute latest model.
Right.
There are all these options in between, you know, like refurbished phones, slightly older models. I could even like borrow a friend's phone for a while to see if I really even needed a new one.
Huh. I never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
I usually feel like I have to choose between like two extremes.
Yeah.
But you're right. There's a whole spectrum there.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And then from the quantitative perspective, I started crunching the numbers, you know?
Yeah.
Like how much would a new phone really cost me over the next year or two?
Right.
How much longer would my current phone likely last?
Mm.
So that helped me like weigh the financial implications.
So it's not just about the initial price tag. It's about looking at like the long-term costs and benefits.
Exactly.
Great point.
And then the functional perspective really helped me define what I like actually needed the phone to do.
Right.
Did I really need the latest camera, you know,
yeah.
or the fastest processor?
Yeah.
Or was I mainly just using it for calls and texts and like basic apps?
It sounds like HDP helped you break down the decision into like more manageable chunks.
Yeah.
And then you could really analyze what mattered most.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to see how this could be useful for like all sorts of decisions, not just buying a phone.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's applicable to pretty much, you know, anything.
Okay.
Like think about a really common workplace conflict.
Sure.
Like a disagreement over a project deadline.
Ooh, I've definitely been there.
Right. So imagine using HTP to analyze that situation.
Okay.
The big picture perspective could help you consider, like, the overall goals of the project, you know, and how that deadline might impact other teams.
I see.
The operational perspective could shed light on, like, the actual tasks involved and whether that deadline is even realistic given the team's resources and workload. And then the structural perspective could reveal any underlying power dynamics or communication breakdowns that might be contributing to the conflict.
Wow, I never would have thought to apply HDP to a, you know, workplace conflict like that, but it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
It's like you're taking this, like, tangled mess and untangling it one strand at a time.
That's a great way to put it. And the more you practice systems thinking, the more natural it becomes to, like, see those connections and really untangle those messes.
So it's like a skill you can develop over time.
Exactly. It's like learning to ride a bike. At first, it feels awkward. You might wobble a bit.
Right.
But with practice, it becomes second nature.
Okay. So we've got HTP for analyzing situations. But Dr. Kasser also talks about the importance of generating ideas, right?
Yeah.
Like what he calls active brainstorming.
Right. And he suggests using a matrix to really systematically examine, like, a situation or an issue.
Okay.
And guess what?
What?
This matrix incorporates those Kipling questions we talked about earlier.
Right.
You know, who, what, where, when, why, and how.
Wait a minute. We're combining the Kipling questions with HTP.
You got it. So by combining those questions with, you know, those 9 holistic thinking perspectives,
right,
you create this, like, super-powered brainstorming framework. It's
right.
Like you're creating this multidimensional map of the problem. And you're exploring it from every possible angle.
Okay, my brain is officially exploding. But, like, in a good way, I love how visual this is.
Yeah.
It's like you're drawing this mental blueprint for problem solving. But isn't that, like, a lot of boxes to fill in?
Well, remember, it's not about filling in, you know, every single box in the matrix. It's more about triggering ideas.
I see.
Prompting you to think in new ways. You know, think of it as like a springboard for your imagination.
So it's more about the process than the product.
Yeah.
It's about getting those mental gears turning.
Exactly. And that's, like, one of the core principles of systems thinking. It's a way of thinking, not just a set of, you know, tools or techniques.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But what about all those times when we don't have the luxury of, like, sitting down and brainstorming with a matrix?
Right.
You know, like when we have to make a split second decision.
Well, that's where systems thinking really shines. Because
yeah,
even if you don't have time to do a full-blown, like, HTP analysis, the underlying principles can still, you know, guide your thinking. It's about being aware of the interconnectedness of things.
Okay.
Considering different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And really, like, avoiding those knee-jerk reactions.
So even if you can't consciously use the tools, the mindset itself can be incredibly helpful.
Exactly. It becomes, like, a way of seeing the world.
You know, all this talk about systems thinking is making me realize how often I just, like, react to situations without really thinking them through.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm on autopilot, just going through the motions.
We all do it, but systems thinking really helps us, like, snap out of that autopilot mode.
Right.
And become more more deliberate in our actions.
It's like we're upgrading from, like, a basic operating system to a more sophisticated one. We can finally access all these advanced features we didn't even know we had.
That's a great analogy. And part of that, you know, upgrade involves boosting our critical thinking skills, because it's not just about, like, having information. It's about knowing how to evaluate that information.
Right, right. Anyone can Google something these days.
Yeah.
But it takes critical thinking to, like, sift through all the noise and figure out what's actually true, you know, what's reliable.
Exactly. Critical thinking is like a filter for your brain. It helps you separate, fact from fiction.
Right.
Bias from objectivity.
Well, Dr. Kasser has this really helpful template for critical analysis of arguments, and he emphasizes the importance of recognizing, like, those hidden assumptions.
Right.
Those unstated premises, as he calls them.
Oh, yeah. Those are sneaky little devils. They can completely derail your thinking without you even realizing it.
It's amazing how often we just accept things without questioning those underlying assumptions. It's like we're on a train, you know, just following the tracks laid out for us.
And that's why critical thinking is so crucial. It's about, you know, getting off that train.
Right.
Stepping back and examining the tracks themselves.
Okay.
Like, who laid them? Where are they going? Are they even taking us where we really want to go?
You know, I never thought about it that way. It's like we're taking ownership of our own mental journey.
Precisely. And that means, like, being willing to challenge our own assumptions, even our, you know, deeply held beliefs.
But isn't that, like, uncomfortable?
Sure.
I mean, don't we naturally want to hold on to our beliefs?
That's true.
Especially the ones that are really important to us.
Of course. It's human nature to want to be right, you know, and to avoid information that contradicts our beliefs.
Yeah.
But think about it this way. If your beliefs are solid, they can withstand scrutiny.
Mm.
In fact, examining them from these, you know, different angles can actually make them even stronger.
That's a really good point. It's like saying, if my beliefs can't handle a little, you know, shaking up, maybe they weren't that strong to begin with.
Exactly. And sometimes being willing to, you know, question our beliefs can lead to, like, profound personal growth and a deeper understanding of the world.
So it's not about winning arguments or proving other people wrong.
Yeah.
It's about, like, a genuine pursuit of truth and understanding.
Absolutely. And that's what makes critical thinking such a, you know, valuable skill in today's world, you know, where we're just bombarded with information from all sides. It helps us, like, navigate that information overload,
right,
and make more informed decisions.
You know, it's funny how Dr. Kasser uses humor to illustrate the importance of critical thinking.
Yeah.
Like, he brings up that classic logic of the absurd, like those signs that say, you know, don't be cheated elsewhere, come in here.
Or the one that always gets me, the passport for sale, never used, owner going abroad.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly someone skipped the critical thinking step there.
Yeah. Those examples make it so clear, like, how easy it is to fall into those traps of faulty logic, you know, if we're not paying attention.
And those unstated premises can be, like, incredibly deceptive.
Yeah.
Like, in that cartoon Dr. Kasser shows where someone assumes that because they can't see their feet when they look down, their computer must be shrinking them.
It highlights how easily we can jump to conclusions without, like, really examining the evidence.
Right. And critical thinking helps us slow down, examine the evidence, and, you know, consider alternative explanations.
Okay. I think we've officially blown our listeners' minds with all this talk of systems thinking and critical thinking.
Huh.
It's like we've given them a whole new mental toolkit.
I know, right? We have covered a lot, but, you know, remember, it's a journey, not a destination.
Mm.
The key is to keep practicing. You know, keep exploring.
Yeah,
and I keep asking those questions.
Speaking of questions, Dr. Kasser ends the document with some pretty thought-provoking ones.
He does. He challenges us to, you know, think for ourselves, to check our sources, and to never stop learning and exploring.
And he even suggests using, like, multiple search engines.
Yeah.
And exploring, like, different perspectives on a topic.
Right.
I think that's brilliant advice.
It is. It's a reminder that knowledge is, you know, constantly evolving. And the more we learn, the more we realize how much more there is to learn.
Okay, we're going to take a quick pause here to let all this soak in. But when we come back, we'll wrap up this incredible deep dive.
Yeah.
And leave you with some key takeaways you can start using right away. Stay tuned.
All right, so we were back. Back for the final part of our systems thinking deep dive.
Good one.
I don't know about you, but my brain is, like, buzzing with all these new ideas and perspectives.
It's really amazing how just, like, shifting your mindset, you know, can open up a whole world of possibilities.
Absolutely. One thing that's really stuck with me from Dr. Kasser's document is this idea that, like, everything is interconnected.
Mm.
It's like systems thinking is a way of seeing the world as this giant web of relationships, you know, rather than just isolated parts. Yeah, it makes you realize that even, like, small actions can have ripple effects, you know, throughout the entire system. It's like that butterfly effect we've all heard about.
Right, right, exactly. And that highlights the importance of collaboration, doesn't it?
It does.
Because if we're all connected, we need to work together to solve problems.
Exactly. And you know what? Systems thinking really reminds us that we're not just these, like, isolated individuals.
Mm.
We're part of something much, much larger.
Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive, let's distill some key takeaways for our listeners.
Right.
You know, what are the most important things we want them to remember and, like, actually use in their lives?
Okay, well, first and foremost, let's just ditch that whole idea of searching for the one right answer, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Embrace the concept of a continuum of solutions.
Right.
Because there's rarely just a single perfect solution, but often there are, like, multiple workable options.
So say instead of getting stuck in that either mindset, we need to start thinking in terms of, like, and both.
Exactly. It's about expanding your options,
yeah.
You know, considering all the possibilities, not just the most, like, obvious ones.
And sometimes the best answer is simply, I don't know, right?
Absolutely. Don't be afraid to admit when you don't have all the answers. Because sometimes acknowledging what you don't know is actually the first step to, gaining a deeper understanding.
It's like that saying, the only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
Exactly.
Humility.
Humility is key, absolutely, in systems thinking. We need to be open to learning, to changing our minds,
Yeah.
To being wrong sometimes.
Okay, so we've got the continuum of solutions.
Right.
And embracing,
Yes.
What else should we add to our mental toolbox?
Oh, HTP.
Right.
Holistic thinking perspectives, that's a must-have. Those nine perspectives are like a Swiss Army knife for your brain.
Yeah.
They can really help you, dissect any problem from every angle.
I'm already starting to see how HTP could be helpful in like so many situations,
yeah.
From making decisions to resolving conflicts to, even just understanding things better.
Right.
But how do you choose which perspectives to use?
It depends on the situation, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you just use like a few of the perspectives, it can really dramatically shift your thinking.
And don't forget those Kipling questions.
Oh, yes. Those are good.
They're like little detectives.
Yes.
Helping us gather all the clues we need to, solve the case.
But who, what, where, when, why, and how, Those questions, they're simple, but they're so powerful.
Yeah.
They force us to think critically and really delve deeper into the situation.
And, of course, we can't forget about the importance of critical thinking.
Right.
In a world where we're constantly bombarded with information, more crucial than ever to be able to evaluate that information.
Yeah.
And make informed decisions.
Absolutely. Question everything. Challenge those assumptions. And don't be afraid to consider viewpoints that, differ from your own.
It's like building a mental immune system,
Yeah.
Protecting yourself from misinformation and faulty logic.
That's a great analogy. Critical thinking is about developing that mental resilience, that ability to really think for yourself,
Yeah.
And not just accept everything you hear or read at, at face value.
And finally, we need to remember that learning is a lifelong journey.
Yes, it is.
There's always more to discover, more to understand, more to explore.
Absolutely. The more we learn, the more we realize how much we don't know.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so exciting.
I love that. So, dear listeners, as Dr. Kasser urges us, go out there, ask those questions, think for yourselves, and never stop learning.
Yeah.
The world is a fascinating and complex system, and systems thinking can be your guide to navigating it.
And here's a final thought to ponder, as you embark on your systems thinking journey.
Yeah.
What's one challenge in your life or in the world that you could, approach differently using these tools?
We encourage you to keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep those systems thinking caps on. Until next time, happy diving.